Welcome to Work of Art, the Mason Gross podcast, produced out of Rutgers University's Mason Gross School of the Arts in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We are a community of nearly 1,200 undergrad and graduate dancers, musicians, theater artists, filmmakers, and visual artists from around the globe. My name is Laurie Granary, and I'll be sitting down with some of these artists, discussing what fuels their curiosity, their passion, and their impulse to make.
Josian Martinez knows how to live his life despite what the other boys thought as he took dance classes, despite what his parents thought when he first came out as a gay man. Martinez, a Mason Gross BFA EDM dance education student, started performing as a child in the Pentecostal church. His experiences at a performing arts charter school with teachers who accepted him as he was, a gay kid who loved to move and make dances, made all the difference, and in fact informed his own choice to become an educator. But the path hasn't been easy. Martinez actually entered Rutgers in the School of Environmental and Biological Sciences with the intention of becoming a doctor. The summer before he arrived at Rutgers, he had a revelation. He, in fact, did not want to be a doctor. He wanted to tend to bodies in a different way, as a dancer, choreographer, and dance instructor. He reached out to several Mason Gross professors, auditioned, and eventually began the 5-year BFA EDM program. He's never looked back. So, Josian, I want to talk to you a little bit about how you chose dance, how that came into your life. Are you, you know, a kid who'd been taking dance your whole life? Did you come to it later?
I initially started dancing when I was younger in church. I grew up in church religiously. I used to go often. And so I started dancing there very informally without any training. And then I started to take classes around 6th grade, 7th grade. So that's when I started my dance career, my training.
What denomination are you that you were dancing in church?
I'm Pentecostal, or I am is kind of.
Culturally, yeah. I think a lot of more performers than you would imagine come out of that, right? Come out of that tradition of dancing and singing in church like that. So what kind of dancing were you doing in church? Was it more of a communal dance? You were dancing in a group?
Yes, it was more community-based, more, I would say, lyrical and very interpretive, like sticking to the lyrics and trying to interpret the lyrics in a movement correlation. So it wasn't very much like modern dance, Western dance, as we do here at Rutgers. It was more interpretive.
Was it improvisational in that sense of like responding to the spirit, or were there prescribed moves?
I would say it was an even balance of both. Mm-hmm. The people who I led the group most of the time, so they would just follow if I did start improvising mm-hmm. to whatever I felt in the moment. But we did have a little bit of structure of like, oh, this will be the chorus and this is what we'll do during the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are your parents still a member of the Pentecostal church? Did you lose a leave of your own volition as an adult?
Yeah, I left on my own will once I came to college. I still, you know, kind of practice. I still believe in, you know, the word and God, but I don't attend church as well often, but my parents still attend.
So how do you feel like that? I know you said in sixth grade, you started taking more formal dance lessons, but how do you think being rooted in the church and rooted in sort of a communal dance form has made you maybe a different dancer from other people in the BFA or EDM program?
I think the difference for me was that dance was, for me when I started, was very personal, and it was very relationship based with me and what I believed at the moment. So I think that informed my creation and my creative aspect for what I made and how I ended up performing in that moment. So I think it's informed my dance now, in a sense, because it's changed the way that I can kind of present myself.
Explain to me, if you can just clarify a little bit, like how do you think it's informed the way you express yourself, the way you choose how your dancers will move through space?
I would say for, in the relationship aspect, because when I was dancing at church, it was very like as we were talking about, improvisational, kind of like in the moment what I feel. So it's really informed the way that I dance here at Rutgers and the way I create, because I like to create with bodies in the space, and to be very careful of what the relationship is and what it is that I'm trying to express, because that's very it can be very clear or very misguided if you aren't being attentive to it.
That's interesting. So when you say it could be misguided if you're not attending to it, can you tell me what you mean? Like how could it go awry?
I think sometimes we like to be too general in our choreography, which I think is beautiful too. Sometimes not every message has to be specific, but sometimes when you can find specifics in the vocabulary of the dance, you can really get across a powerful message. And I think that's very important to realize as well when creating.
That makes me think, how important to you is the aspect of telling a story? Because you talked about message.
I think it's very important for me. It's something I really like to focus on when I'm creating.
That you're and I guess that kind of goes back to what you were saying about being in relationship, right? You know, I want to ask you to that, and I want to ask you about teaching too. When you first came into the BFA program, did you think you were going to do the EDM all the way through? Were you set on being an educator, or did that change?
I definitely came into the program thinking I wanted to do the dance education. That was one of the big reasons why I wanted to do it, because I knew that they offered this 5-year program and I thought it was very beneficial, and I thought it was very helpful to get a jump start into my career.
What made you want to be a teacher? I know you said you went to a charter school in Atlantic City. Was it an arts-based charter school?
Yes, it was Performing Arts High School.
Okay.
And then what made me really be passionate about teaching was first starting in the church and teaching there these like small dances or these small little routines, but then getting into school, my high school dance teachers were very culturally relevant, and they were also very responsive and supportive of us, and they taught us many things that transcended the dance vocabulary and routines, and they were very like supportive of our careers and helping us get a jump start in our life.
Was this the first time you'd experienced teachers like this? Like, was there a specific teacher who really, because I think often when people go into education, it's because they've been affected by a teacher. Can you talk about a specific teacher you had who inspired you?
I would say both of my dance teachers, Karen Clayton and Tara Pascarella, they were very just supportive of where I come from and where I was going to go and where I wanted to go. And I thought that really made a difference in the way I responded in class and the way I thought of myself outside of class.
When you say they were supportive of where you came from, tell me what you mean, like that they were open to who you were as a dancer. What were they supportive of?
For me, what was very weird for me to understand and realize for myself was I came from a Christian background and I did all this Christian dance. I did it throughout high school. And so at the same time, I was also dealing with my personal conflicts of being a gay man and understanding that, the societal norms in the church weren't really for me. And so I thought that was kind of hard to deal with sometimes. And I thought my teachers knew it, but I didn't have to say it. They just understood. And so I thought that was really important.
Yeah, you had a lot on your plate. I mean, it's hard enough to be a teenager, but to be dealing with the church and where you came from and what you knew, and to be dealing with, I don't know if you were coming out at that time or if it was just that, the two were in opposition, but I'm glad you had that support.
Yeah.
I'm
I
glad.
mean, unfortunately, I didn't come out exclusively to my parents and to my family at that time. Until I came to college, I did, but I thought it was very something that was in the air. We just didn't disclose of it. But people were, I thought it was very important that my teachers were supportive, and also my peers, like my friends in dance class, knew what was going on, and we could speak about it, and I didn't feel judged.
So, what was it about coming to college that made you finally come out to your family? And even just to step away from the church and to maybe forge your own relationship with God.
So once I came to Rutgers, it was like a full 180 for me. I didn't go to church anymore. I used to go through like about 2 or 3 times a week to church. I also was in my house dealing with the conflict of, be myself or not be myself. So then coming to college, I didn't go to church. I was able to fully express myself, and like live my truth. And so I also met my partner, my first semester of college here, and we started to get serious that summer, and so I felt like this was the time. Like, this was the time for me to be true, not to them, but be true to myself. And so, yeah, that's when I told my parents that summer.
How did they react?
It wasn't like, I knew what the reaction was going to be. It's not like I was surprised. Like they came from a Christian background. They grew up in the church. So I didn't expect to get a parade, but I am very surprised that they took their time, and now they're fully supportive. They understand me, they understand my partner, and they understand the relationship that we have.
So talk about learning dance remotely right now. What does that look like? What good, bad, and ugly? What does that feel like? I think it's really important for people to understand how this is affecting performing artists in particular at Rutgers.
I think I'm just starting to understand it too. There's no set guideline of it, but I think it's complex. We have all these written assignments, but at the same time, our bodies want to move. My body wants to move all day. I did during the semester, so I find myself doing a lot of like YouTube videos, and learning through them, pausing and rewinding, pausing, rewinding, or sometimes just watching live videos and grabbing what I can grab from them because I can't be attentive the whole time because I'm in my room. I get distracted. I want to be on my phone. I want to do whatever.
Hard.
But I think just f finding time to just be moving and expressing yourself is what's important at this time.
That makes me think, what is it? Everybody has a different mode of expression that maybe feels most native to them. Like, I'm a writer, and so for me, if I'm not writing, I get itchy.
Yeah.
I don't feel like myself. I feel anxious. And tell me, why do you think movement is your lens through which you see the world? What is it about movement that just moves you?
I think there's a quote in, I believe, the New York Ballet that says, dance is what the mouth can't say, something like that. I know I'm saying it wrong, but it was saying that we are poets of expression. And I think sometimes what I can't say verbally, I can say with my body. And I think sometimes what I say in my body is stronger and has and can communicate better than what I can sometimes tell somebody, with communication verbally.
And you know, I wonder, because I know you want to be an educator, how do you think you will communicate as a as an educator, as a teacher, in the classroom, in the studio, to your students? What kind of approach do you see yourself taking at this point? And I'm sure it'll change, but.
I like to believe that I'm gonna be the most supportive teacher to them. I think one of the most important things that I focus on and why I wanted to start teaching was cultural relevancy. I think it's important for students to see people and teachers that are representative of them, whether that be Latino, minority, queer, male. We don't see a lot of male teachers in the dance rooms. So I think just being someone, a teacher for them that they can see themselves as, is really important for their art. And I think one of the most important things to notice is that kids are very attentive and they pay attention to what we do. So if we don't realize that and shed light on that, like if we don't watch what we're doing, they can what am I trying to say? I'm getting rattled up here.
Oh, that's okay. I think they can smell it when when you're not authentic, for sure.
But I can't wait to watch a dance classroom because I think that environment is completely different than academic classroom. And there's things that we that we can't learn in academic class that we need for a dance class.
Yeah, talk about that, because I know you have that experience being at a performing arts high school. What do you think can happen? What kind of dynamic? What can people learn in a dance class that they might not learn in, say, a PE class? You know what? Because I think we have to make the case as arts educators for arts education, unfortunately. So I think it's important to talk about, like, you know, you're going to have some people who are saying, "Well, why does my kid need a dance class? I don't get it." What's your answer?
I think sometimes people who are not dancers think that dance is just, oh, I can do that. That's a TikTok dance. That's a YouTube. That's a 5, 6, 7, 8. But I think you learn problem-solving skills. You learn motivation. You learn determination. You learn a lot about who you are in a dance classroom that can help you outside the dance classroom if you don't want to be a dancer. So I think understanding that it's not just about the movement, but it's about your personal development.
Yeah, talk to me about that for yourself. I know this is a big question considering you've been dancing for a long time, but what do you think you've learned in the studio that you've brought to your life? Like, how has it translated?
I think one of the balances of dance is that you can practice physical health while you can practice your mental health. I think that's one thing that I got from dance was that I can be mentally okay to, and my health will be okay. How did I say this? I learned a lot about like my well-being internally. Like sometimes my physical state is not there, but if I can be there mentally and I can be determined in a classroom, I think that says a lot.
So you mean that that means as a person you could be determined, that kind of feeds you as a person?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's moved, that's been very apparent in my outside my dance life. Like I'm very determined to do a lot of things. I'm very motivated to do a lot of things. And I don't see myself taking no for an answer. And that's something that you realize really quickly in the dance community. There's a lot of no's, but like I think if you understand that a dance community, you can take that approach to anything else you do.
And I'm wondering too, because there's kind of a collective no going on right now in terms of how you're learning. How, it might be too soon to ask this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Learning from home, how has this affected you as an educator, as a student? Like, how has it changed your perspective even on education? Because who knows where education will go, right? You may be teaching Zoom classes as a young teacher. We just don't know where it's going.
It's so hard for me to see it in the teaching way because I unfortunately I'm not in the position. I wish I was so that I could experience that more because this is, I think this coronavirus will definitely shift the way we learn and we focus on when we are now teaching. Because doing online work is difficult and trying to be a dance student online is, I think, even more difficult. One of the most important things of being a dancer is being in a community, being around other people who can really support you and uplift you together. And not having that is difficult online.
Can imagine you feed off of each other too and inspire each other when you're in rehearsal or you're training.
Yeah, it's very hard. I know I just had an assignment recently where we had to follow our teacher's dance. It was like a 30-second dance, and then me and my other partner had to make a 45-second dance and teach it to each other. And I found myself struggling to create these 40 seconds because I wasn't in the studio with the other person where we could kind of feed off and bounce back ideas or just play around. I had to like really think, and I kind of got more roadblocks as I was doing it.
Yeah, 'cause it's like you're having to take a new route to get
Yeah.
to that end. Yeah, I can imagine that was how did you end up making it work? I mean, were you in touch via video chat? Like, were you
We ended up doing a Zoom call, learned to dance through Zoom together, and then taught each other on Zoom, our 40 seconds. And I mean, like I'm so grateful to have Zoom because it allows us to share a screen, allows us to conference call. But I so wish that we were in the studio and moving in the space together.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and I wonder how this time at home, how it's shifting your priorities in your life, in your education. Again, maybe it is too early to ask, but just reflecting on how different you are than you were, 6 weeks ago. How's it changing?
I think it's really showing the integrity and the honesty that there is in the world. I was speaking to one of my classmates yesterday. We were talking about how hard it is to cope with these classes, the assignments, and trying to balance still dancing and getting our work done. And I think one of the things I was saying to them was that our physical state and our physical abilities, we can get that back as soon as we resume classes or as soon as we get off the quarantine. But I think it's important to focus on our mental health because that we need at all times. That is, and a key part for me personally of my well-being. And if I can't be mentally well, I can't be physically well. So I think that's one of the important things that I'm focusing on right now.
Tell me the tools that you're using. There's I feel the same. Like, I feel like there's so many different things I'm drawing on to not be running on fumes, and it's still hard, but even with all those resources, tell me some of the resources you're drawing on to keep yourself well mentally.
I have found myself going outside a lot and just taking walks by myself. I have found myself working out outside and even just watching, like I start watching a lot of YouTube videos that are stuff that I wasn't interested in before, but I'm now watching because I'm learning stuff from them.
Are they
And
dance videos or are they?
no, just like normal videos. Like I've been watching like planting and stuff about terrariums, and then stuff about like airplanes. So I've really just been trying to learn so that I can avoid thinking about other stuff, learning as much as I can.
Yeah, I think a time like this really exposes what our resources are and what they're not. They expose institutions, relationships, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I've been saying, and
It's very humbling to be in this position because you, we never, I never thought I would be in this position. I never thought I would be at home, stuck inside for 2 months,
right?
and only get to go outside to go to the supermarket with a mask on. And so it really makes you realize the small details in life, like having a partner or just having a room to sleep in and a bed to lay on. I think those small things are really what's important right now.
Tell me the significance of making art right now during this time. Why is it important for you to keep creating?
I think it's important to keep creating because it is a form of expression. It is the way that we cope with what we're dealing with. And sometimes we don't realize that. Sometimes we just create and we're like, oh yeah, we're creating about this and this and this, but it actually is a bigger light into what we're dealing with and how we're coping with it. So I think if we can create or just brainstorm on stuff to create about, we can kind of feel better and understand what we're dealing with.
So, just going back to your interest in teaching, what do you think will make you an effective teacher? What do you think it is about you, that you think you could be positive in the classroom? Not easy work.
No, I would, my goal is to become a middle school or high school teacher because I think that's when we need most a mentor and somebody who's there to tell us it's going to be okay and we're going to overcome. And so I would love to be that person for somebody who tells them you're good enough, you can do it. And not just with dance, not just, oh yeah, you can do three turns. But you're good enough to be in this classroom. You're good enough to become whatever you want to be. So I think I really want to be a leadership, like a leader for these students who need somebody who understands them.
And I wonder how much you're going to have to overcome the way dance is viewed for men. The way that kind of movement is sometimes denigrated. Like, how do you when you come up when you meet that, what is your argument going to be, or what is your approach going to be?
I face this a lot. A lot of people see dance as a feminine practice. And I think it is and it is not at the same time. And I think me as a person, I'm very sarcastic. So once somebody tells me, oh, you do ballet, I'm like, yeah, why would I not do ballet? Like, I think people really think that if they say, oh, it's feminine, then I'm gonna be offended. No, like I can be feminine and I'm gonna like value that in myself. So I think realizing that their opinion is not gonna change the way that I feel about dance. And understanding that dance is for me and not for what they see me as.
Did you come up against that as a kid dancing? Did you, I mean, I can imagine you must have. Like, did you have like kids in your neighborhood or who made fun of you for dancing?
Yeah, I feel like I was always dancing since I was a little kid in whatever way, informally. And for that, I was always labeled as gay by my peers, and I didn't understand it at the time because I was very innocent. But now I understand, like, oh, these kids were just uneducated on what it is that I was doing and what it is that I was feeling. So, yeah, I did get bullied, but I think that helped me become stronger in what I viewed myself as.
And like you said, not taking no for an answer because you've kind of had to come up against that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, that when you have kids in dance class, obviously not every kid is going to be a dancer, and that's not even your goal. But boy, even if you have you kind of affect people and make them patrons of the arts or appreciative of dancing, we're seeing dancing for men in a different light. You've done something huge there too, right?
Yeah.
Even if you don't have a kid who goes to Mason Gross.
I think most of the time when you have a class with, when you're a dance teacher and you have a class, most of the students don't go into dancing. They pursue other professional careers, doctoring, engineering, healthcare administration. But I think they take these small tools that you got that you didn't understand that you got from dance. Like I was saying, problem solving. Sometimes in dance, we have to problem solve in the moment as we're dancing. Oh, wait, what's the next move? Wait, we're too close. I need to move away. And those little things, you don't understand that they help you outside of dance. And so they can take that too.
Talk to me a little bit about Mason Gross and how you feel Mason Gross has changed you as an artist, as a person. Even maybe pointing out a specific professor or experience, that would be really great.
And Mason Gross, I think I'm very grateful for Mason Gross, first of all, because when I first started, I came in as a SEBS major, School of Environmental and Biological Sciences. I was going into pre-med. And so quickly that summer before I came to college, my freshman year, I had a shift in mind. I was like, I don't want to be a dancer anymore. I mean, I don't want to be a pre-med anymore. I want to become a dancer. And so I started reaching out to Frederick, who is the undergrad coordinator, and Paulo Campo, which he does like the introductory classes for Mason Gross and for the regular BA program. And I was very grateful for both of them because they really gave me a foot in the door to audition and take classes, even though I wasn't a Mason Gross student. And I thought I was very fortunate to have that because I don't think I could have ever did it if I didn't reach out and ask, you know, I really am interested, but I auditioned for the wrong thing, or I thought I wanted this. And if it wasn't for them too, which they're also males, so it really gave me a lot of support, and a lot of honesty.
What made you think you wanted to be a doctor, first of all? Like, what was that motivation? Because obviously it appealed to you on some level. And what made you brave enough to say, to pivot like that? That's a big thing for an 18-year-old to do.
Prior to shifting when I was auditioning, when I was applying for schools, I really thought that dance couldn't be a career. I really found myself troubled to say that I wanted to become a dancer, as a full-time job because I knew that it's very hard. My parents were very supportive of me dancing, but they still were like, we want you to be, successful and we want you to have money. And I think that really troubled me. So I really thought that I wanted to become something that I didn't want to be. And then it wasn't till the end of the semester where, the end of the school year, my bad, that I s really found myself thinking and reflecting on how it was to be a dancer those 4 years in high school and how much I loved it and how I would not have that once I came to college. I wouldn't have the chance to dance again the same way. And I think that's when I shifted my mindset that I needed to change. I emailed my SEBS advisor and I was like, I really want to switch. please help me out in any way you can. And she was very supportive too. So I think that was around the turning point. Once I started to reflect on what my high school career was and what my college career was going to be, I realized that dance needed to be in that equation.
So how did it feel when you realized that dance would in your kind of current situation would not be a major part of your college career? And then how did it feel when you made the decision and you went through all of those steps? Talk about that, those feelings.
Well, I remember in the summer when I came for orientation, and I was with the SEB students, and it felt so weird, to be talking about all this stuff that I just wasn't interested in no more. It just wasn't what I wanted to go into. And so, once I came to school and then I started to take Ballet One and Modern One for a semester, I felt so glad that I got the opportunity to do it. And I thought to myself, like, even if I don't get in a dance program, like, I'm so glad that I got to do this because it's what I wanted to do in the moment. And so once I got to audition the next semester, and getting in and being accepted, it felt so liberating, because I also had the support of my parents. I told them before I changed, and they were fully accepting. They said, do it. If that's what you want to do, we support you. And I told them about the educational track that was 5 years. I would get my master's. They were like, yeah, go for it. Like, we know you always like teaching too. So I thought it was really important.
What does it mean to you to have that support from your parents? And what would you say to someone who doesn't have that support?
It's so hard because it's not that we need validation, but it feels so good when someone is there uplifting you and pushing you while you're pushing yourself too. And so I'm very grateful that my parents always supported me dancing, even when I was in church, to when I came to college. So I would say the most important thing to realize and focus on is that dance is for you. Dance first starts off, it's a personal thing. It's a personal motive. And I feel like no one can take that feeling away from you. If you feel great and you feel liberated when you dance, hone into that and realize that dance is for no one else but your well-being and your mental state.
And thinking about you as a teacher, what do you want to communicate to the dancers you'll end up training?
I would love for them to understand that you can be a dancer and still have other careers, or vice versa. You can have another career and still have a dance career at the same time. So I think it's important to realize that even though it is hard to be a dancer and have a career and have a long career in it, it's important to realize that if you want to do it even for a year, that it's worth it. And that it's important for you to fully take advantage of the opportunities you get.
Well, I think you will be an example to students of a person who's really kind of followed what you were meant to do, no matter how hard that is.
Yeah.
Because, people can talk, but if you're walking the talk,
Yeah.
that's meaningful.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I'm so grateful that I can now go into this teaching because I didn't have somebody that had this hard career to get to where they are. A lot of people started dancing when they were 3, 4 years old in a studio taking ballet, all that jazz. And I didn't have that. And so allowing, being a teacher and telling my story to my students, I know they'll understand and they'll be even more grateful for the person they have there, because they'll learn from me.
Yeah, they'll learn from you just by who you are. Just by who you are. Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much. I hope that you enjoyed this as much as I did. I appreciate you
I did.
being open and honest and, being a generous person to talk to. It's really
Yes, I
helpful.
thought it was very good. Thank you so much, Lori.